Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We've been looking forward to this day. Welcome to the installation of Pastor Roy Grant as senior pastor of Calvary Gospel Church. Welcome to Brother Putnam, our district superintendent, members of the district board, and wives. To the ministers of the United Pentecostal Church, especially those of the Wisconsin district that are here today. And welcome to Calvary Gospel Church here in your home church. Amen. We are blessed to be here today, and we're grateful for what God has done. We believe that God is going to do a great thing today. We're going to enjoy His presence. We're going to enjoy one another's fellowship. And most of all, we're going to honor Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, and at the same time, Bishop John Grant and Sister Grant. Amen. Now, one of the most interesting dynamics here at Calvary Gospel Church is something that takes place between Sister Grant and the church family, but especially between Sister Grant and her son. So at this time, we want Sister Darlene Grant to come. She's going to give a word of testimony on this special day for her son, Roy. You may be seated.
Have this, Brother Shane? Okay, I thought, what can I say about this special young man? When he was just a little baby, and you wouldn't know it now, with his little silver top, but he had a head full of black hair, and it was so pretty. And he was the only one of our boys that actually was. Now, John, when he was born, he didn't have a lot of hair, and it was three different colors. So he had a choice what he wanted it to be when he got big. But anyway, Roy's was black, but now he's silver. And doesn't he look distinguished? As a mother, when you have your child, you think, what is this little guy going to be when he gets big? And at that time, his dad was not a preacher, so he could have been a football player, baseball player, truck driver, you name it, he could have picked his choice. But God had something better. And since 1966, that man right there has been my pastor. He's told me what to do, when to do it, bring him coffee, and I've been submissive to that. But now, I'm still going to be submissive. I'm still going to make him coffee because he's still my special guy. And I'm still going to wait on him. And yet, this man right here he's still going to be my son. He'll always be my son. But he's also going to be my pastor. And I hope when he tells me what to do, he remembers that I'm his mother. I was going to scare him. I was going to bring a big scroll out and say, where do I start? But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. But he is a very special man. He married a very special lady. And they make a wonderful couple. And I think Calvary Gospel Church is very blessed to have him as their pastor. I love you, Pastor Roy.
I told her she better go light because I get the microphone last.
He's like his dad. He has leverage. I never could say anything about Brother Grant because he had the final say, and he always had the pulpit and the microphone. So, but anyway, he's a special man, and I'm not going to say lucky. We're blessed to have him as our leader. God bless.
Amen. I was really looking forward to that, Sister Grant. We've also asked a close friend of Pastor Roy's to come and give a word of testimony. Jim Rivas is a member of Calvary Gospel Church. He's also a member of the board of Calvary Gospel Church. He's also Pastor Roy's fishing buddy. And he also knew him before he was Reverend Roy Grant and worked with him in the workplace. Probably most of you know that Pastor Roy was a plumber for a number of years, did his apprenticeship, became a journeyman, started his own business, and had a reputation for being one of the hardest working men in the Dane County area. And one of the other hardest working men in the Dane County area is Jim Rivas. We want Jim to come.
That's a privilege to say a few words for a good friend of mine. It's hard to put into a few words Roy Grant. And like Sister Grant said, it's difficult to think of all the things. Because my time with Roy spans a little bit of time. I've known Roy, I figured it out, Roy. It's been just about 30 years. This year, since the first day I met him. First day in the job as an electrician. Very first day. Apprentice, green, don't know nothing. Walk on a job, and I still remember the house, and I think Roy does too. I walked on the job, and there's Roy Grant. And we were both apprentices. We were both the gophers, the ditch diggers, whatever you want to call it. And we became friends ever since. And I wasn't living for God at the time. You know, and so we still had a lot of fun. I still love this man, and I used to call him my holy roller buddy. And that time, you know, we didn't make a lot of money. We, you know, and I wasted most of my money on cars and things of the world, and halfway through the week, well, I'm waiting for a paycheck. And lunch sometimes just was nothing there, except when Roy was around. His wife, Lois, would make these pans of brownies and bars, and man, I survived. Those were just a lot of fun years. And it was just many, many times hanging out together, and we worked together usually 2-3 times, sometimes 4-5 times a week, every week. Worked for the same contractor, and after 4 or 5 years of questions and visits to your home, visits to the church, I became Roy's holy roller buddy. And we just were two peas in a pod. We did everything together. We went fishing. We went hunting. I mean, I've been on RV trips with Roy to Texas, about as far north as you can drive in Saskatchewan, and Lake Erie, everywhere in between. We just did a lot of stuff together. And some of the trips were just a blast. Some of them turned out to be nightmares. Most of the RV trips, Roy, weren't so good when you weren't there. We could write some books on that. But it was still a lot of fun. And as I grew up, my kids became to know Roy as Uncle Roy. And I still remember having a talk with them. They were asking me, is Uncle Roy really our uncle? And I had to tell them, well, kind of, but not really. Not in the way you think. But this man, though, still loved my family enough to come over one day and baptize all three of them in our pool. And what kind of friend is Roy? Well, one of these RV trips to Texas, we had four-wheelers, and my friend, he had a brand new four-wheeler. I mean, this thing was jacked up, had new tires on it. It was nice. It didn't have 15 miles on it. Well, I decided to drive down a stream one day. The day before, it was okay. It was only 2-3 feet deep. But after an all-night rain, when I drove down that stream and it came over the top of the four-wheeler, I knew I was in trouble. Long story short, me and that four-wheeler were upside down on that river. And that four-wheeler was never the same. And what does a friend do? He just sat there and laughed. We laughed so hard we were crying. That's what a good friend does when you trash his brand new four-wheeler. So many, many projects, many things. Most of the projects around my house were started or finished by Roy Grant. I mean, this man has more talent than three or four men. And I think everybody can say amen to that. There's nothing that Roy cannot do, cannot try, cannot finish, is Roy Grant. And I remember helping him on one of these so-called projects at your house. Roy decided to remove 18 feet of his concrete wall in his basement. 8 feet high, 8 inches thick, 18 feet long. We're like, yeah, we can do it. We're not 20 anymore, but we can do it. This was only a couple years ago. So with jackhammers, concrete saws, and we even rented a big, huge compressor jackhammer. I mean, we had the equipment, except we couldn't get any bobcat in there or nothing, but it looked really good on paper. After days, nights of sawing, jackhammering, rotor hammer, and you know, every guy wants to grab a hold of a jackhammer for at least 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, it's like, can somebody else try this? I'm feeling my age here big time. But I think it took us over 2 weeks, nights, weekends at least, to get this wall to move. Concrete walls weren't made to come down. We drilled, hammered, and even Roy's great idea, which he has, let's drill a hole in the side of your house and run a chain through it to your truck and hook it on and pull this wall down. Now, I don't know who would even think of this idea, but let's do it. And we did. Except that wall still didn't come down at first. And I was driving the truck, and I mean, boom. But after a few more cutting, sawing, it did come down. By the way, after a while, we noticed that I broke all the leaf strings in your truck doing it too, bud. I'm sorry. But that wall did come down. And it wasn't easy, but it did come down. And that determination that I've seen so many times in you, Roy, is going to serve you just like that wall fell. It's going to serve you as a pastor too. To not give up. Dig in. Grab the horns of the altar, like your dad so many times says. And so much of the talent that I see from you comes from your dad, the work ethic, not giving up, and to finish the job. I consider myself blessed to have many great friends. Many of them are sitting in here right now, but I don't know of anyone else on the face of this earth that I can call my best friend than Roy Grant. And so, my friend, I've called you Roy, some, many other names, but it's my honor to call you pastor. Awesome.
Amen. The many sides of Roy Grant. Hallelujah. It's our privilege today to have the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director for the Office of United States Senator Ron Johnson with us. Mr. Johnson was not able to be here, but he has asked his representative, Tosif Anam, to come and make a presentation on his behalf. Please welcome Tosif Anam.
Good afternoon. My name is Tosif Anam, and I'm the Southwest Wisconsin Regional Director with the Office of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. We really appreciate the invitation. Unfortunately, Senator Johnson could not be here today, but I'm here representing the office, and I have a letter from Senator Johnson that I would like to read. The letter states, "Dear Reverend and Mrs. Grant, congratulations on your election as senior pastor. Your congregation placed their trust in you to lead them in worship, evangelism, and discipleship. May you continue to grow and meet the needs of your community. Best wishes as you continue your ministry. Sincerely, Ron Johnson, United States Senator." Thank you so much.
At events like this, special occasions, it's customary to have a district official, organizational dignitaries, if I may say it like that. And it is our pleasure to have with us our district superintendent. But Brother Putnam is more than just an official here at Calvary Gospel Church. Most of you know that our pastor was the district superintendent prior to Brother Putnam. And one of the instructive elements that we have been witness to is the transition from superintendent to superintendent. These two men have given us an example of how it ought to be done. Brother Putnam is an outstanding man, well respected and well-known internationally, and we are blessed to have him as our superintendent, but we at Calvary Gospel Church are blessed to count him a friend of Calvary Gospel Church. He's been alongside us for this transition that we're experiencing at this time. He's a friend of Bishop Grant and now Pastor Roy Grant, and he's a friend of Calvary Gospel Church. We want Reverend John Putnam to come at this time.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, let's lift our voices in praise and honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't tell you how much it is an honor to be here today at Calvary for such an occasion as this. We've been in Calvary in many, many different situations, both sad and happy. I'm glad to report this is one of the happier ones. Amen. Praise God. We certainly are very, very thankful for the amount of ministers that are here today representing our district. We thank God for all of them. Thank God for our regional presbyter that's here. Amen, Brother Soto. And thank God for all of you that are here today. And we're very, very thankful for our friendship with Bishop John and Darlene Grant. And we're very, very thankful for our friendship with our senior pastor, Roy and Lois Grant. And we're very thankful for all of the saints of God here in Madison. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Nehemiah. It's the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. It's also at a gathering. Matter of fact, they've all ran to the street. They're there, both men and women, and to everyone that could understand what Ezra, the scribe and the priest, was about to do. They have been through hardship. They have gone through a period of building. And now was a time when they were going to bring forth the book, the word of the Lord. And they bring it to an open area in the street by the water gate. And there they had built a pulpit. Sounds like church, doesn't it? They built a pulpit for Ezra to stand on so he would be seen and heard by all. And verse 5 says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' with lifting their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." In the New Testament, in Peter's first general letter to the church, in chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter writes, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In your hearing this afternoon, I want to speak to you on a very simple title. Let the church say, amen. Let the church say, amen. Would you lift up your voices and let's pray for God's touch tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for the body of Christ, the church. And I pray, dear Lord God, for your will today, that every ear would be able to hear, every mind would be able to understand, and every heart would receive, amen, what saith the word of the Lord. We love you and thank you, God. And to you we give all glory, honor, and praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, and said, amen. Let the church say, amen. And you may be seated. I have taken this message, or the title of this message this afternoon, from a gospel song composed and written, sung by the late Andre Crouch. Andre Crouch, describing how this song came to him, he said that over a period of just a few years, his father had passed away, his mother had passed away, and just the year before composing the song, his brother also went into eternity. Andre said that it was during the memorial service for his brother that he just didn't have the emotional strength to even mutter the word, amen. But when the pastor who officiated at the funeral, when he made a point in his message, the pastor paused and he said, "Let the church say, amen." And when that command was given by that man of God, it was at that moment that it rang loud and clear in Andre Crouch's spirit. It was at that point that he just had to come to grips with the fact that God had everything under control. It was then that Andre too could lift his voice with the rest of the church congregation and affirmatively state, amen. Certainly to you and I, church, amen is not a foreign word to any one of us in this service today. Matter of fact, we close every prayer with it. We state it when we are in agreement with something that's been stated. And though it just contains four English letters, this word, when spoken through the lips of a child of God, speaks volumes about the individual that is speaking. For this Hebrew word means sure. It speaks of having abstract faithfulness, that is, existing in thought or in idea, but not having a physical or concrete existence. In other words, we don't have to see it to believe it. It's something we believe with our whole heart, our soul and mind, and it means truly, amen, so be it. It's the truth. So I come this afternoon saying, let the church say amen. Nehemiah, a cupbearer to a Gentile king, had heard about the devastation of his beloved city, Jerusalem. The walls had been torn down and the gates of the city were burnt. In his anguish over the destruction of his native land, Nehemiah was determined to do something about the situation. But little did he know, in his willingness of burden of heart, that God's word was about to be fulfilled through his efforts in rebuilding Jerusalem and the very temple of Almighty God. All that Nehemiah knew was he was overwhelmed in his heart, and he was willing to make a difference in his homeland. Can I say to this congregation today, I don't care who we are, every minister of the gospel begins with a burden. It begins with something stirring on the inside and aligning your life to the point where all of a sudden, amen, you're to the point where you literally walk into the will of God, because the will of God has led you and guided you through this very moment, and that is why you started with the burden for the first place. Through God's hand and leadership on his life, Nehemiah and others built the wall, rebuilt the walls, the gates were restored, and the people of God did rejoice. And as our text read, all of the people came as one into the street. For what purpose? To hear the reading of the word, the law of God. And when they began to open that sacred book, all of a sudden, with the lifting of their hands, and as Ezra began to bless the Lord, the great God, then they began to affirm that by saying, amen, amen. And these restorers were excited about the restoration of Jerusalem. They were tired of the destruction and defeat that had come upon them. But now it was a different day. It was a new day. It was a new era. And the only steadfast, unchangeable, and unmovable part of the whole equation of what they went through in their destruction and restoration was God's holy word. And their willingness to obey and embrace its commands once again. So when the book was opened, they all shouted, it's sure, it's steadfast, it's unmovable, it's true, so be it, that the word of God is forever settled. I wonder this afternoon how many of you here still believe that the word of God is forever settled. How many of you still believe that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever? Then let the church say, amen. Our Heavenly Father is the one and only God of His Word. We understand in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I don't care how dark the night may be, my friend, the Word of God will always be the light source. Amen. And John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. The very authority of His own spoken words were powerful. Peace be still, He said, and the storm ceased and the waves calmed. Rise up and walk, and the crippled man raised to his feet and walked home whole. He looked at death face to face, and He said unto thee, I say unto thee, arise, and the dead were raised. His Word was always living in fulfilled action. Remember, brothers and sisters, Numbers 23:19 states, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? No wonder the Apostle Paul admonished the church, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, amen, the Father by Him. Why? Because through the name of Jesus comes the authority of the manifest Word of God. This very assembly, Calvary Gospel Church, right here in Madison, Wisconsin, is a continuation of the fulfillment of God's Word in action. How's that, you ask, Brother Putnam? Jesus Christ said, in Mark 16:15, He said unto them, go, everybody say go, ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matter of fact, this gospel is going to be preached in all the world before the King of Kings comes back. And Jesus said what He said He expected His followers to do. And my friend, that's you and I. And Mark 16:20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Everybody say everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Acts 8:4 says, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And that everywhere includes Madison. Every work of the apostolic faith here in Wisconsin and throughout the globe is continued fulfillment of God's powerful word in action. And again, confirming that God's word is forever settled. Church, it's settled in the good days. Let the church say amen. Amen. And it's settled in the days of trouble. Let the church say amen. Amen. And His eternal word declares in Jeremiah 3:15, He says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Over the years, Calvary Gospel has been given good and anointed and ordained leadership. Each God-given pastor has brought to this body, through the preached word, a degree of growth and authority. Bishop and Sister John Grant are and have always been a gift from on high to a body of believers here in Madison. And we honor them for their many years of labor here. But make no mistake about it, saints, the work of the kingdom and the continuation of God's fulfilled word goes on and it grows forward. And God once again has given this body, this assembly, a gift according to his word and his heart, a pastor in Roy and Lois Grant. And they will continue to feed you with knowledge and understanding of the continual, effectual word of the Almighty. Let the church say, amen. The Apostle Paul stated to his son in the gospel, Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And Peter again said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it. We are here this afternoon to install what God has already determined. Long before any of us were even thought of, God knew that this assembly would one day be led by Pastor Roy Grant. So his word is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Yes, Sister Grant, all of us wonder what our little ones are going to end up being. But you know what? God has his hands on our little ones. God has a purpose for every one of us in this building today. You may never grace a pulpit. You may never preach a sermon. But my friends, we are all to be the greatest witnesses that we can be to a lost world out here. So, if you believe that, then let the body of believers of Calvary Gospel Church stand to your feet right now. Lift up your voice and your hands in praise. And let all the church shout, amen! Hallelujah.
Say amen! Say amen! Amen, amen, amen. Amen. The Bible speaks of the pastor as a shepherd. As a matter of fact, the word means shepherd. And we have had great leadership in the office of our shepherd and Bishop John Grant over the years. The Bible also tells the story of Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah passing the mantle to Elisha, which represented the passing on of the authority and the anointing of the office. Now, we know that Pastor Roy Grant has already been functioning as a senior pastor here. But what we're doing today here is formalizing that passing of the mantle. So it's only fitting that Bishop John Grant should give a charge to Pastor Roy Grant, and we would ask him to come at this time.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. And praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
And you may be seated. This is an unbelievable experience for me. You have to keep in mind when we talked about installation service, several people said, how does this go? I said, well, here at Calvary Gospel Church, it's been 40 years since we've had one. Actually, 42 years, so it's been a while. But you can do this any way you want to do it. And I do thank all of the staff members and all of the people who worked and helped in this. And Pastor Roy has, as usual, he's done a remarkable job organizing this. The one thing about Pastor Roy, he never lets any grass grow under his feet. If you took a trip out to his house and you saw where the wall came down, and you saw also what they built there, they have a train set that I don't know how many miles, literally miles of track they have. But it's just unbelievable. And everything that Roy has everything he's always done is he makes it as big as you think he ought to, and then he adds some to it. And so that's the way it is at his house. He's got a train set that, if you look on Facebook, you'll find people from all over the world have pictures on their page there with Roy Grant's train set. I don't know if you call them train sets or what, but model railroad. Okay, where the heck is? I know I called a train set one day, and Roy was just doing like this. What's that? He said, it's not a model. It's a model railroad, not a train set. But this is an incredible experience for me. Roy was born August 7, 1962. And to see him grow to maturity as a young man, then adulthood, and work with his mom and Sister Jan Rager on the streets of Madison as a bus captain. Roy did this for years. And one day, there was some kids that were picked up by another church on their bus. And when they found out, the wrong church, Sister Grant. Sister Jan jumps in their car and runs away and goes in the Sunday school room and says, hey, these kids are in the wrong church. So you have to understand one thing, that when you're talking about Roy and you're talking about me, that Darlene has more spunk than what most people think she has. She does. I say she does all the driving. I just handle the wheel. The then to later see him mature and marry Lois. Most of you may not know this, but Lois was the very first new convert here at Calvary Gospel Church after we arrived here in 1972. They have been married now 34 years. Or will be. I will be this June. And then his brother, older brother, will be married 33 years this coming June. Now let me tell you why I am telling you this. My mom and dad had four daughters and one son. And the five of us, we have logged up 258 years of marriage. So, Pastor Roy, you do not have an excuse by saying, I didn't know they're supposed to be that way. Three of us have been married over 50 years, and then my two younger sisters, 46 and 43 years. But there's more to being successful as a pastor than having a successful marriage. That's important, but there's more to it than that. So I want to read what Paul has written to Timothy, and you hear this a lot at services like this. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. And there's one thing about Pastor Roy, you know. He and I have had quite a few discussions about this. Well, he can get to going. I mean, he can go. I remember he and I, we kind of team preached. And the young people got so tickled because I'm up here doing like this. And when he gets up, wow, he blows us out of the building. And the young people said, you know, next time you decide to do this, why don't you just let Pastor Roy do it all? I said, okay. All right. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. One thing Pastor Roy has been doing, and that is he has been talking about the importance of the apostolic doctrine. And Roy, I charge you before these people and these witnesses that you continue to love and preach the apostolic message. Amen. In our particular day, one thing that's really popular, and that is that we just kind of love everybody and just sweep everything under the rug that is not quite right as far as our social structure goes. But we can't do that.
Amen.
See? I can't change the Bible. Pastor Roy can't change the Bible. It is what it is. And nobody can change it. It's forever settled in heaven. So the Bible says there will be a time in which they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I really appreciate Pastor Roy's tenacity. Dig in. Preach it like it is. If it doesn't fall just so-so to certain people, so be it. That's the way it is. And he'll tell you in a heartbeat, "I didn't write this Bible. All I do is just proclaim this Bible." I charge you, Pastor Roy, before God and before these witnesses, to remember these things. Make full proof of your ministry. Now, he asked me one time when he first became pastor, he said, "Let me ask you, Dad, do you think I'll ever become as good as you are?" I said, "Absolutely not." I think he thought I was going to say, "Absolutely." But I said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Why?" I don't know if he thought he had already arrived there or what. I said, "Well, listen to me, son. Your ministry is totally different from mine. Don't ever try to copy my ministry. The thing about it is, I'm trying just as hard today to preach my best message as you are. And you're not going to blow by me until I have no breath left in me." But I charge you, Roy, before God and these witnesses, that you do your best to blow by me. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Most of you know that I've had some health problems, and health problems, they can get you. I just had a good number. But see, I've always believed that you need to be successful, and in doing so, you make excellent memories. However, don't ever allow your memories to become greater than your dreams. Pastor Roy and I have talked about this so many times. And he's got so many dreams. I charge you, Pastor Roy, keep those dreams alive. One of the problems of the age in which Jesus talked about his return, Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah's day. When Jesus talked about those days, he never one time mentioned the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah or the sin of Noah's day. He never mentioned their sin. He talked about them marrying and giving in marriage, talked about them eating and drinking and building. Basically, what the deal was, they were complacent. And that's what he talked about when he talked about the coming of our Lord. It's easy to have a measured success, Pastor Roy, and become complacent. Yes. It's easy to sit back. But you can't allow that to happen. The fire of God has got to burn deep inside of your soul. You've got to stay focused. And I charge you before God and these people that you stay focused. See, the real focus of a prayer meeting is not prayer. Now that shocked you, didn't it? The real focus of a prayer meeting is Jesus Christ. Amen. The real focus of worship is not worship, but it's Jesus Christ. The real focus of preaching is not preaching, but it's Jesus Christ. So when you pray, if you're focused on Jesus, when you're preaching and you're focused on Jesus, when you're worshiping and you're focused on Jesus, the house will be full of the glory of God. I charge you, Pastor Roy, before God, to keep it that way here at Calvary Gospel Church. Keep your vision alive. One thing, too, that I think is very, very necessary to mention is the attitude of a senior pastor. It's easy to get lifted up with pride. It really is. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sometimes we get a few success stories under our belt and we feel like that God sent us forth as wolves among sheep. But that's not the case. Pastor Roy, I charge you before God, stay humble. Treat each person like you would like to be treated. Make every person that you talk to or that you talk about to someone else, make that person look as good to them as you possibly can. I charge you to keep the favor of God in your life. You have already learned so many things. I pray that you will continue to appropriate blessings from the Lord and that you share that blessed life with others. By giving, by praying, by witnessing, by treating others the way you'd like to be treated. If in heaven, when one sinner repents, there's rejoicing, don't you know that when important decisions are being made, like the decisions are made here in the house, don't you know that heaven is rejoicing? So, Roy, my son, I charge you before God. Every time you preach, let it be the best message you can preach. Every time you pray, let it be the best prayer you've ever prayed. Every time you worship, let it be the best worship you've ever given. May God bless you, son. Mom and I love you. And we charge you, keep the faith. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, this installation is about the office of the pastor, but it's also about the body of Christ here at Calvary Gospel Church. And we have with us a man of God who has been faithful to the ministry, faithful to the leadership, faithful to Calvary Gospel Church, and it is fitting that we would ask Brother Rich Thomas to come and bring a charge to the church. Brother Thomas, please come.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. You may be seated. We greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here today to give a solemn charge to the saints of Calvary Gospel Church. But first, I'd like to read a couple passages of Scripture. And if you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church, would you be so kind as to stand? I know I'm in the Spirit because the bishop just read this text, Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that may they do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. My brothers and sisters, saints of Calvary Gospel Church, today God has honored his word by giving us a great pastor and pastor's wife. And according to the word of God, we are to obey them because God has given them charge over our souls and to feed us with knowledge and understanding. So I present this charge to you today. And if you agree, please say, I do promise after each reading. Will you promise to pray for our pastor and his wife daily? Will you promise to respect them at all times, both in and outside of the church? Will you promise to obey them as long as a biblical principle is not being violated? Will you promise to do everything in your power to prevent disunity in the body and Calvary Gospel Church. You promised to represent Calvary Gospel Church and the Wisconsin District in your home, in your church, and in this community. And everybody said,
Amen.
God bless. You may be seated.
Amen. At this time, we are going to have the formal act of installation. We want our district superintendent, Reverend John Putnam, to come. I imagine Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, you're going to need to stand and present yourselves before the elder, and he'll take it from there. Brother Putnam.
Can we all stand, please? Pastor and Sister Grant, if you would come right down front here. I would like the board members that are here today to come behind them with their wives, if they would, or their husbands, depending on how you do it here. This is the local church board. And if you'll, Pastor, if you'll face me. Truthfulness, being a pastor of a church is much like being a husband of a bride. Though we know that we're all part of the bride of Christ. But, you know, in our weddings, we came before a minister and we answered some questions before God and witnesses. And so, Brother Bishop Grant has given a charge. And now I'm going to ask some questions that require an answer. Pastor Grant, recognizing the seriousness of pastoring the Lord's church, will you do your best to fulfill the responsibilities in serving in this capacity? For those of you that can't hear, he's answering, I will, so help me God. As a steward of the call of God, will you do your very best by your God-given ability, give what giftings that you have been given from above for the help of the body of Christ here at Calvary Gospel Church? Recognizing the importance of the body of Christ, the church, in your own personal life, will you commit to stand by the gospel's mission here in Madison, Wisconsin, and live a separated way of life in this community? Since unity and harmony are so valuable in the work of God, will you strive to always value the opinions and work of your fellow laborers and do the utmost to keep unity in all that you do for the work's sake? Will you always submit yourself to those in authority over you in the body of Christ as an example to those that would expect, that you would expect to submit to your authority? And will you never teach or try to influence anyone by word or insinuation to go against the teachings of God's holy word or the teachings of this local assembly? And will you always be considerate of your own decisions concerning places that you go, things that you speak about, and associations that you may have that would bring any type of reproach or question to the spirituality of this assembly that you're called to serve. Having been prospered by the hand of the Lord Jesus and enabled by his divine grace and his power, will you commit yourself to maintain every part of your life so as to represent him in Calvary Gospel Church in the best possible light for the overall work of God in this area? Congratulations, Senior Pastor Roy and Lois Grant. Amen.
Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Now, Lord Jesus, this prayer will finalize our activities here today as far as the installation goes. I thank you, Lord, for Roy. I dedicated him as a baby. Baptized him, prayed him through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's been years, but now I feel that you are pleased with this dedication of my son as senior pastor of Calvary Gospel Church. We accept his calling and agree to follow him. He accepts your call and agrees to follow you. So now, in the presence of God and all of these witnesses, we dedicate this pastor and his wife, Roy and Lois Grant, to the senior pastor ministry at Calvary Gospel Church. And may we all say amen. Amen. Pastor Roy will come and greet you.
I feel very, very humble and very, very honored today to be able to serve such a great, great congregation of people. So many of you have had so much input in my life. I grew up here. I came here, I think I was in fifth grade. Had so many of you that have helped make me who I am by the influence of your life upon my life. And I am forever, forever grateful for that. We serve an awesome God. We serve such an awesome God, and it is just such an awesome opportunity. I'm so thankful that you've entrusted my wife and I. We will do our very best. We'll do our very best to serve you as your pastor. I would like to give some thank yous. First of all, I'd like to make a correction. I don't have a train set. I don't have a model railroad. I have a railroad empire. Someone asked me at the train show this past weekend, do you have a model train? I said, no, I don't have a model train. I have a railroad empire. And I rule the empire. No, I'm just... I'm just kidding. If you've ever seen, we won't go there. But I want to thank my dear friend, John Seidel. We have been, I think we go back over 30 years. I lose track of time. It's been over 30. We've been married 33, and we were friends before you were married. So they're celebrating 33 years coming up, I believe, in March. 34. They'll be 34 this March, Brother John and Sister Terry. They are the ones responsible for organizing and coordinating all of this. Brother John, you have been a great friend, a dear friend for many years. He's one of our assistant pastors here, and it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to work with you beyond sled and vending. That's a private joke between the two of us. But thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. And to all of the staff at Calvary Gospel Church, Sister Jess and Fiona and Phil and John and Brittany, who's probably over in the other side of the building, and Sister Vicky and Rich and Peggy and Brother Dave and Sister Ellen, such an honor to serve you and work with you every day. What a great group of people we have here. And I would like to thank my father-in-law, Larry Michaels, who's sitting down at the time. He deserves that right. 90 years old, he can have a seat. It's just such an honor to have you here today, Larry. For those of you that don't know, Lois's mother was one of the very first new members of Calvary Gospel Church back in the early mid-40s, and Larry and Jane, I believe, were the first couple to be married here at Calvary Gospel Church back in the 40s, and then 1950, they were married here, the first couple. And then it's great to have my sister-in-law Donna here, Lois's sister, and then my nieces, nephew, sister-in-law. So great to have all of you here, Derek and Emily and Joyce. Thank you so much for coming out today. I don't know about the rest of you, but I didn't really have much of a breakfast, and we have a great meal prepared. It's time to eat, folks. To all the friends that came, I can look out over the crowd. Keith and Chris have had such an influence in my life. Keith is one of my mentors. I appreciate you so much, Keith Manley. Love you very dearly. He's like a brother to me. So let's just pray for this food, and then we will fellowship and enjoy one another's company. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be here and to serve you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each and every guest that has been here today for this celebration, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for them taking time out of their schedule to be here today to celebrate with us as a couple and as a church. I pray, Lord, that a blessing would be upon them, that you would bless them, Lord, as they return home. We pray, Lord, for this food, this fellowship that we're about to partake of, Lord. So thankful, Lord, to be able to celebrate this day with friends and with family. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless the food and all of those that had the input in preparing and providing this for us today. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we do this all in the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Pastor Seidel.
Amen. We're going to worship the Lord as we dismiss. We're going to ask Pastor Roy and Sister Lois and Bishop Grant and Sister Grant to lead the recessional, and these members on the platform here will follow them out. Then our ushers will come and dismiss you one row at a time. We do have a reception, and everyone is welcome and asked to be a part of it. But while we wait, we're going to worship the Lord with this mass choir, which is composed of several of our ministries, along with the leaders of the Calvary Gospel Church Music Ministry. Elders, if you would.
God. Dieu est...